and take out a copy of God's Word. And I'd like to say turn to, but we're going to actually look at various verses. And what I'm going to do is the majority of the verses at the beginning of the sermon are from the Old Testament. I know people have more a difficult time finding things in the Old Testament. So the majority of those verses will be on the screen for us. And then toward the end of the sermon, we're going to be mostly in New Testament verses, and I'll just give you the reference. And we'll move along, but just write the reference down so that you can refer to it later. But do listen to what it says, because remember, it's God's Word to us, and He intends to change us. And kids, we're going to be talking about some pretty awesome things that happen as a result of people praying. And so there's lots of opportunity for pictures here. And what my intent is that the pictures that really capture what was preached, I'm going to start taking pictures of them, and we'll project them on the screen so everybody can see as well. Not today, we'll not project, but maybe next week. So do your best, listen to what's being said, and try to imagine in your mind what's going on as we look at these things. But we are going to continue in our core values, our foundational statements here. And this is our second sermon with regard to the core value of God-dependent prayer. And it's interesting, because I know what I was going to preach on this morning, I was very conscious of the prayers that we've been praying. We prayed a lot this morning. We prayed to start our Sunday school class. We prayed to end our Sunday school class. We prayed to begin our service. We prayed for one another twice. We prayed before we preached. This preaching's part of the service. And we're going to pray after it. So clearly to us, prayer is important. In fact, you could say that prayer is like breathing, or it should be like breathing to the Christian. Just as our physical lives are sustained by breathing, so our spiritual lives are sustained by praying. But it's interesting. It's something that is so very common to us. But I think that we don't always have the best theology, the best understanding of God and who He is when we pray. And it's important that we do, because that will influence how you pray. And so let's first, I'm going to recite for us our core value statement. In fact, is that large enough that you can see it? I know there's a glare off the screen. Do you want to say it with me? Let's say it. We are gladly a God-dependent people with a God-given work that can only be accomplished in His power. Therefore, we must pray always and for all things, praying with each other, for others, and for ourselves, that we might know God and His infinite power, so that God will be glorified in our lives always and in everything. The phrase that jumps out for me in that verse, or that statement, is this: we must pray. We must pray. It's not we should pray. It's a good idea that we pray. We're saying we must pray. Let me ask you the question. Why? I mean, last week we looked at God's sovereignty over His creation. That God is the one who creates universes and keeps them sustained and going on their course. He moves nations to where they need to be. He determines the days that they rise up, the days that they fall, the area that they'll occupy. He's involved in our lives in the same way. He's sovereign over all things, and He causes all things to work according to the purpose of His will. You look at it and say, well then, why does He need me? Why do I need to pray? Can we change God's mind? Will we change God's will? And how we answer that has a lot of bearing on how we pray. And so what I want to offer to you is an answer to that question. Why should we pray? If God is sovereign, do we even need to pray? I mean, He's going to do what He's going to do, right? Two statements. And I'm going to use these as our main points in our outline. First statement, prayer does not change God's will. Now that might come as a shock to you. Prayer does not change God's will, and I'll explain why. So what does prayer do? Well, prayer is one means that God uses to bring about His will. Okay, in the mysterious way that God works, is here He is, He's sovereign over all creation. His will, all creation follows according to His will. He orders the steps. Everything is under His sovereign command. And yet, He invites us to pray. And He uses prayer as one means, it's not the only means, but one means that He brings about His will. So let's look at these. Let's look at that first point. Prayer does not change God's will. Now, how can I make that statement? Because what the Scriptures teach us is God does not change. The Scriptures clearly state, here, listen to Malachi 3, verse 6, God Himself speaking, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change." Now, we're familiar with change in our life because we're imperfect beings and we need changing. But God is a perfect being. God does not change because God does not need to change. He's perfect, and His will is perfect. Listen to Numbers 23:19. God is not a man. He's not like us, right? God is not a man that He should lie, or a son of man, a man, this is another way of saying it, that He should change His mind. What the Word of God is saying here is God is not imperfect like us. We change our minds all the time. I mean, think of it. You get an idea about what you're going to do, and it's like, this is the best way to do this. I'm going to do it this way. Until someone else comes along, and they show us a better way. They go, oh, I think I'm going to do that. We change. Because our grasp of our lives in this world, our very nature, we're imperfect. We need change. We're subject to change. But let me ask you this. What could we, as imperfect beings, offer to God that is better than His perfect will? In fact, the Apostle Paul asks that question in Romans 11:34. He asks, "Who has been God's advisor? Which one of you does God go to for advice?" He doesn't. He is perfect, and His will is perfect. So prayer does not change God's will because God does not change. So God, in His perfect wisdom, has set the course of this world. He has set the course of our very lives. And His will for His world, His universe, for His creation, for our very lives, is perfect. And it is not subject to change because God does not change. This is something that we should absolutely be rejoicing in. We should be jumping up and down with glee. In fact, every verse that I just projected on that screen, the context of those verses are assurances to us that I, the Lord, do not change. In fact, the Malachi 3 verse, you know what comes after that? He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change, therefore you, O Israel, are not destroyed." What God is saying is that I don't change. I don't change my promises. I don't change my covenant. They're good. They're trustworthy. I do not change. Can you imagine if God did change? Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine that God sets out what his will is and then looks at it and thinks, I could do better. Or one of us says, God, I think this is what you should do. Oh. If you were subject to change like that, can you imagine God changing his mind about our salvation? God looking at what has happened since he sends his son into the world. Can you imagine God saying, you know, I sent my son to the earth to die for their sins, to set them free from the power of sin, and what have they done with it? They continue in sin. I'm sick and tired of it. I've had it. People, salvation is off. That would be frightening. That's why that statement is there, that God does not change, because his promises don't change. We know that verse, Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a statement of assurance. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:13 assures us that if we are faithless, he, God, remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. He can't be anything other than he is. A perfect God who is not subject to change. And we can thank God that he does not change. His promises don't change. Prayer does not change God's will. And we can thank God that it does not. No, prayer is one means that sovereign God uses to bring about his will on the earth. And we're going to look at that. But remember when Jesus taught us how to pray? He said, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is a means by which God uses to bring about his will on the earth. So prayer does not change God's will. What it is a means by which God brings about change. So when we pray, what God is pleased to do then is to use our prayers in his great plan to accomplish the will that he's already ordained. That's the way prayer works. That's the way it works. So what does prayer change then? Why do we pray? That's the question before us. Well, I've got all these cool things. Prayer can change circumstances. Prayer can change circumstances. That's typically why we pray. We want our circumstances changed. But prayer can change circumstances to bring about what God has already willed. To bring about what God has already willed. We see many examples of this in the Bible. For instance, if you recall our study in Joshua on Friday nights, Joshua, in the midst of a battle, prayed to God. And God caused the sun to stand still. Joshua 10, verse 13. The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. Joshua prayed. God changed the circumstances. The Bible says that Elijah prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain on the earth. James 5, 17. And then what did he do? He prayed again, and it rained. God was pleased to change the circumstances. When King Hezekiah of Judah became deathly ill, God said to him, and can you imagine God saying this to us, set your house in order, for you shall die, and you'll not recover. What did Hezekiah do? He prayed. He cried out to God. And this was how God answered. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and will defend the city. Isaiah 38. You'll find that story. In the book of Acts, the early church prayed. When Peter was in prison, what did God do? He set Peter free. prayer can change circumstances to bring about God's will. Now you look at that and say, well, but didn't these actually change God's will? I mean, Hezekiah, God says, you're going to die, you're not going to recover. Was God wrong? Did God sit there and think twice about it? Maybe I made a bad call here? No, I submit to you that he did not. Let me walk us through those Old Testament examples. In Joshua's case, where the sun was caused to stand still, we need to remember that this was not Joshua's battle. This was not Joshua's quest to occupy the land. It was God's quest. God had promised to give Israel the promised land. God had promised them that he would fight for them. He said, I will give you the land. And so stopping the sun in answer to Joshua's prayer was one way that God brought about his declared will on the earth. It wasn't Joshua's plan to go take the land. It was God's plan. And God was keeping his promise. Elijah prayed that it would stop raining. Well, God had called Elijah to be his righteous voice to call the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, back from idolatry to the worship of the true God. They were Baal worshipers. And so stopping the rain in response to Elijah's prayer was one way that God showed that he's the true God, in order to call them back. It was one way that God brought about his will on earth. It was God's will that the gospel be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And so freeing Peter is a response to God's will. It's God having declared that this is what's going to happen. And here's Peter, he's in prison. God's called him to take the gospel. And so when the church prays, God changes circumstances to bring about his will on the earth. So just as our core value statement says we can and should pray in all things, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And I bring up that verse because I want us to understand that we can have confidence, that we can come before our God and pray about anything and everything. He's invited us to do that. And we can ask anything from God that is consistent with God's will. Can you imagine a husband saying, God, I want you to help me divorce my wife and take up another wife? No, unthinkable. We pray in accordance with God's will. We talked about that a few Sunday or Friday nights ago, where when we say in Jesus' name, it's not tacking on the end of our prayer something that makes it a valid prayer. What it should be is our understanding that what I pray is submissive to the will of God, to what Christ is about. Will God always change our circumstances? The answer is no. The answer is no. I remember being at a pastor's conference where one of the featured speakers was Johnny Erickson Tata. Many of you know who she is. But as a teenager, she dove off of a diving platform and hit something in the water and was paralyzed. She's a quadriplegic. She came to faith in Christ, and God has used her powerfully as a speaker, as a writer. And at this conference, she said that people ask her all the time, Johnny, do you pray for God to heal you? And if you do, why doesn't he heal you? I mean, you're such a choice servant of his. Why doesn't he heal you? I mean, of all the people he could heal, right? And I love what she said. She said this, and again, this is not a direct quote. I don't remember exactly her words. But her answer was that she believes that if her paralysis were the only thing that were holding her back from doing what God had willed for her next. She believes that God would heal her. But so far, her paralysis isn't holding her back. In fact, her paralysis is a tool that God uses to give her a voice. I think I told you before about, also at a pastor's conference, the same conference, the man David Ring. Have you heard about David Ring? Yeah, he has cerebral palsy. So you can imagine this guy who comes up to the stage just in an erratic way, and he stands behind that microphone, and he says in his slurred speech, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse?" And the rest of the sermon was how here's a man who people said would not even live past his 20s. He's married and has children, and he speaks over 300 times a year. Why doesn't God heal somebody like that? Because God uses that very situation in his life for his glory. Linda, your words in Facebook bless my heart. Teresa will post the quotes that the Evangelical Free Church posts on a daily basis, and she'll put them on our website, on our Facebook page. And one of them talked about God being glorified in all things. And Linda, if you recall, you wrote, "If my current health situation can glorify God, so be it. So be it." We pray because that we're confident that prayer can change circumstances. It can. And God's Word has shown that He's willing to do that. He doesn't always do it. He's able, and He'll do it in accordance with His will. But what it seems that God is most interested in is to change people. Not so much the circumstances, but to change people. So prayer can change people to bring about God's will, and especially the one who prays. Isn't it interesting that we go to prayer hoping to affect the world around us in some way? But I submit to you that it's God's purpose to change the person who's speaking, the person who's praying. That's first in God's mind. But so much of our praying is about changing our circumstances, isn't it? I mean, you see on a prayer list, such and such is sick, such and such is unemployed, such and such is... And what we want is God to change our circumstances. And the reason is that one thing that we know in life is we don't like hardship. How many of you like hardship? We don't. We don't like hardship. We don't like pain. We don't like loss. And so what we do in our limited vision, and that's not meant to be an insult, it's the truth. In our limited vision, we can't possibly see how anything good can come from someone's sickness, from someone's loss, from someone's unemployment. We can't see how that could bring about any possible good. So we cry out to God to make them go away. Isn't that really the substance of most of our praying? God, make this go away. Do something different. And we pray that way because we believe that our lives will be better if He does. And so if God answers the prayer the way we prayed it, what do we say? We say, "Hallelujah, God answered my prayer." What if He doesn't answer it the way you prayed it? What do we say then? People say, "Well, God didn't answer my prayer." Yes, He did. The answer was no. The answer was no. Because God is not as interested in changing our circumstances. He's interested in changing you. He's interested in changing you. That verse I quoted earlier, Philippians 4:6, tells us not to be anxious about anything, but to pray about everything. Now, many of you know that area of Scripture, those verses. What's the promised answer to that prayer? Do you remember Philippians 4:7? It says this: "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Doesn't say anything about changing your circumstances, but it put our prayer in the context of our anxiety. We see these things in life that we don't like, that cause us concern, that maybe even cause us to question the goodness of God. And God says, bring them to me. You pray about them. And the outcome is a change to you. You who at one time were inclined to be anxious are now couched in the peace of God. A peace that belies your circumstances. Others will look and say, how can you be so calm in the circumstance you're going through? Because you've prayed. And God uses prayer to change people, especially the one who prays. That's because it's consistent with His will. People always say, I wish I knew what God's will for my life is. I can tell you. You might want to write this down. God's will for your life, God's Word says it, is your sanctification. You know what that means? Sanctification, it's a word where it means you're setting apart. What He's doing is He's setting you apart to Himself and He's changing you. That's His will for your life, for you to be changed. Less like your former self, more and more like Christ. That's God's will for our life. But oftentimes we pray under the illusion that we are somehow free agents. That we're not subject to being changed, but rather that other things should change to accommodate me. When we pray according to God's will, what we're doing is embracing the truth of our God dependence. When you pray, in your mind you should be realizing, Lord God, I am utterly dependent upon You for everything. I mean, He's the one that gives us our very lives. So prayer is the embrace of that truth. In fact, prayer is the practical exercise of our God dependence. It's one of the ways that we actually put it into flesh, put it into shoe leather, as we say. Before Christ, we would act on our own. We would act on according to our own will. We would do what we think was best. But now that we're in Christ, now that we're submissive to His will, we bring all things before Him, asking for Him to work in all things. To what end? That we would see God's will accomplished in our lives. In fact, prayer is the expression of our God dependence. From the very words that we speak words of dependence. Oh God, help me. Oh God, change me. In fact, even our posture. Think about it. The posture of prayer, the physical posture of prayer. What do? We take our hands, these things that we like to do stuff with, and we typically will knit them together, or at least subdue them. We close our eyes. If you're going to do something, like saw a board on a saw, I don't recommend closing your eyes. It's not something you do if you're going to take action. But we close our eyes because we're not going to take action. We're not going to step out. We bow our heads. And sometimes we even kneel. Not a posture for action. It's a posture of submission. And so what we're expressing to God, not only with our words, but even our posture, is I'm dependent on You. I'm dependent on you. Prayer can change people to bring about God's will. Again, especially the one who prays. But prayer can also change others. Throughout the scriptures, we're encouraged to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, the best thing that you can do for this group is to pray for each one. You have a directory. What if you took that directory and you put it next to your Bible, which again, I'm confident you're reading every day, and you prayed for people on the directory, that list. Go through it. I would be thrilled to know that you prayed for me. But to do that, to make that a habit, why? Well, because God uses prayer to change people. I need to be changed. I need you to pray that I will be changed. You need to be changed. We all need to be changed. And we should pray, God, change us. The Apostle Paul regularly asked the churches to pray for him as he labored the gospel. Paul needed prayer? Absolutely. In fact, he encouraged the church to, quote, make supplication for the saints. And again, notice what that says. It doesn't say make supplication to the saints, as some are inclined to do. No, what is a saint? If you're in Christ, you're a saint. And it's to make supplication, to pray for the saints, for us. What should our prayer be? God's will, our sanctification. Oh Lord God, make Michael Bannon more like Christ. If you prayed that for me every day, that would be the best thing you could pray. We should pray for one another. In fact, James encourages in his letter for us to confess our sins to one another. Boy, doesn't that take a lot of confidence? To confess our sins to one another and to pray for each other that we may be healed. We just did that, didn't we? And our best expression, our best heart was, Lord God, heal Jack. Lord God, heal Linda. And I think God doesn't despise that kind of a prayer. God shows that He's willing to change circumstances. But the intent of our praying, even in asking for healing, is to see God glorified. We want to see God glorified in Jack's life. We want Jack's neighbors, we want the medical community to just be astonished at what God's doing in this man's life. Same thing with Linda. We want God to be glorified. And that's what God is interested in, His glory on the earth. So we should pray for one another. But the Bible also tells us to pray for those outside the church. In 1 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul tells us to pray for those who are in authority over us. That's why we pray for needs of nations. He says, pray for those who are in authority over you, that it may go well for you. But he also adds, because there's only one God, there's only one means of salvation. And God's heart is that people would be saved. So pray. Pray for people around you. Jesus takes it even a step further. Do you remember in His Sermon on the Mount, what does He tell you to do for those who persecute you? Pray for them. Pray for them. And what answer to that prayer should we expect? Well, again, what is God about? He's about bringing about His will for His glory on the earth. Can you imagine praying for somebody who persecutes you? Somebody who makes your life miserable. And not praying those, what are called imprecatory prayers, the kind of prayers that you see sometimes in the Psalms where God, smite my enemies down. You know, take them out, God. But rather, God, glorify yourself in that man's life. I told the group on Friday night, this is for the benefit of you who weren't there, that for over 10 years, the church in Naples, we opened our doors to the AA community. And on a Wednesday night, there was a men's AA meeting. It was an hour long, 100 men crowded in our fellowship hall going through this meeting. And there was one guy who had the foulest mouth and told the foulest stories in the course of the meeting. And you could tell he took great delight in doing it. The more shocking he could make it, the better he liked it. And even some of the guys that were there, who had pretty foul mouths themselves, were uncomfortable. But at one of the meetings, the guy mentioned that his wife had cancer, and he was scared. And so what I did was I added her to our prayer list at the church. And we prayed for her. We prayed for her in our worship services. We prayed for her in our life groups. And the next Wednesday, I went to that guy and said, I want you to know, after last Wednesday, hearing about your wife, I took the liberty of adding your wife to our prayer list. And we're praying for her. We want to see God work in her life. The man cried. And he cleaned up his language. Interesting. Prayer can change people, often in ways that we don't expect, because prayer is God's way of accomplishing His will on the earth. And let me ask you, what better could we ask for as an answer to our prayer than God's will and God's glory? Let's pray. Father, I pray that, I thank you first that you rescued us from our former lives, we who are trusting in Christ. Your word tells us that when we were in sin, our foolish minds were darkened, our hearts were hard, pride ruled our lives. We did what we thought was right, what was right in our own eyes. When I look at my own life, I think, how foolish. I don't even know what's going to happen the next moment. And yet I would dare to step out in my own wisdom to accomplish my own foolish purposes. But you, in your great grace, reached out to me, reached out to us while we were still weak, sending Christ to die for the ungodly, for people who are not like you at all. And what a marvelous thing to now be in Christ and to know that your purpose for our lives is to take those who are ungodly and make us godly. And so, Father, my prayer for myself, as it is for my brothers and sisters, is that you would so radically change our lives that we would notice the difference, that we would be amazed at what you're doing. Ever more like Christ, not people who try to fit you into our schedule and try to coerce you into doing our will, but rather a people who have surrendered our very lives to you and saying, Lord God, help us to be a part of your will, that we might see you glorified in our lives, that others might see the beauty of Christ in us and desire to know him. So, Lord, I echo the apostles' prayer, or their request, rather, to the Lord Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord God. Teach us to embrace our dependence on you in all things and to express our dependence in you, not only in how we phrase our prayer, even our posture in prayer, but even more so, how we live our lives. That we would be known as a God-dependent people. And that people would come to expect to see you work mightily in our lives for your glory. So, Father, I pray that you would change us by our own prayers to be like Christ. For the glory of Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.